Whether you recorded your thesis on a wasp's nest and hammered skins, or as a digital image file embedded in a popular weblog, chances are it's important to you, and it may even contain something useful to others. It is precisely this carryover from person to person or from one generation to another that permits us to stand on the shoulders of greatness. With each rising tide, there is a process of increase known as accretion, and as the tide recedes, there occurs a necessary cleansing and reduction along with some sorting and sifting. Our life experience is built up and refined through a similar ebb and flow, and without this process, wisdom could not evolve. A selective account of untested facts is of no more value than hearsay, whereas acquiring and proving factual matter is essential to the conservation of knowledge. At times, facts reveal patterns reminding us of essential truths that may lead us Godward. But how does this happen? And at what stage, under what circumstances, do we attribute meanings and assign values to a collection of facts? And by what process do we aggregate and assimilate individual facts? Even when we don't understand gravity, we don't have to get hit in the head too many times before realizing that stuff falls down. Even when curiosity fails us, if the thing falling down happens to be a wasp's nest, there may be a certain unavoidable meaning, such as, those wasps are going to be pretty ticked off. Of course, any consideration of the nest's value for use as kindling or as paper would probably have to wait until things settle down a bit. We often take note of effects without necessarily understanding the causes, much like the way atheists can develop an affinity for the things of God while failing to develop an appreciation for the source and center of all. Even so, the one and only uncaused cause leaves his signature on everything. It may be barely discernible in our shadowy light, but it is there nonetheless. The true scientist does not assign things not understood to the status of junk DNA. To a materialist, the human brain is evolution's crowning achievement. To those intellectually and spiritually balanced, the physical brain is a non-spiritual subsystem upon which the gift of mind gently rests. As human beings, our greatest achievements with respect to information science pale in comparison to the ministry of mind. Some psychologists persist in embracing a theory of social constructivism, promoting the notion that reality is not discoverable, for it only comes into existence as a social invention. Some sociologists have advanced a complementary theory of social constructionism. It argues that we, as members of society, invent the properties of the world. Such social constructs are understood to be the byproducts of a well-nigh limitless range of human choices. While one discipline's concept of what constitutes reality and when it begins clearly needs more work, the properties of a contracting, egocentric world are indeed the exclusive domain of narcissistic individuals. Self-identification with such unreality can be a suicidal choice. In contrast, the deity-centric cosmos reveals the fact of the fatherhood of our eternal God, and a correlated truth, the brotherhood and sisterhood of humankind. It is the vibrantly alive, rock-solid principle of reality upon which Jesus based his gospel concerning the gift of salvation through faith. The 30th chapter of Deuteronomy wraps up this way. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Some educators would like us to believe that the pedagogical method of full immersion is a recent invention, originating with human beings. But what is the universe of universes if not nurturing infrastructure? Maxwell Smart is not the only one to infiltrate chaos with control. Instructors, investigators, and deterministic theories are faddishly shunning magic man in favor of magic matter. And in rejecting the god of the trees, the stones, the wind, and the volcano, they are likely to flirt with mindless causation for a season. But none of it is magic, for there is precise science, a coherent reason, a predictable path to, and a gravity influence emanating from, the center of all things. Nothing escapes his grasp, including the one-eyed material scientist. The self-preservative endowments of primitive animal life, including the instinctive power of quick perception and reflexive action, suggest a form of intuition that is beyond the scope of inheritable learned behaviors, far superior to those capabilities inherent to small brains and the envy of those currently engaged in the science of robotics. How many years of technological evolution had passed before our display technologies began to approach, in capabilities, that compact, dazzling light show taken for granted by the cuttlefish? The automatic association and referencing of ideas, combined with the coordination of acquired knowledge, suggest a capacity for understanding that is not fully explained by axiodendritic routing, gated ion channels, neuronal switching, or the massive storage of even larger brains. Reason, seasoned judgment, and decision-making all depend upon understanding, a comprehension of meanings for which there is no ready neurological explanation, the conscientious self-direction that accompanies character development and moral stamina manifests spiritually as courage, a quality for which there is no adequate physiological explanation. The scientific quest, the curiosity that leads to adventure and discovery, yields knowledge that guides us along useful and progressive paths of physical, intellectual, and spiritual growth. The collaborative urge, the desire to socialize, and the ability to harmonize all point to a spirit of counsel, prompting the exchange of ideas and opinions as we learn to cooperate for mutual benefit. Such an endowment transcends natural law and provides further evidence of mind ministry. The religious impulse serves to differentiate the soul-deprived creature from those with the capacity to appreciate origins. The worshipful expressions of the appreciative individual create deep channels through which wisdom may flow, and this wisdom yields even greater appreciation. And so we come full circle to the rolling tides, a process that favors the granularity, particularity, and the specificity from which meaningful constructs and useful value propositions are built. Once we begin to discern the truth through any given set of facts, we can abandon the navigational technique of dead reckoning for a far more advanced form of paradise vectoring. Once we have beheld the beauty of God's creation from microcosm to macrocosm, our microconsciousness can finally give way to cosmic consciousness. Once we have learned to test all things and adhere to that which is true, beautiful, and good, we can become reality-centered within the greatest possible reality. For us, that reality begins with the Word. For as the Apostle John told us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so it would seem that an understanding of what John meant by the Word would be in order. And while many would argue about the extent to which the Word was made book, most sincere truth-seekers would accept the Apostle's statement that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It should be abundantly clear, then, that the Word refers to a person, and that, for those of us that have come to embrace Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that person is the Son of God who came to reveal that we, too, are potentially sons and daughters of God. This teaching is entirely consistent with the insistence of Jesus that we must be born again to see the kingdom of God. It is also supported by the statement, "Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." So if what we see depends upon where we stand, my choice would be to stand solidly within the kingdom of God in humble obedience to our Heavenly Father. As for all the things we take at face value, we should remember that the truth never suffers from close examination, so there is no disloyalty implicit to revisiting all prior assumptions. It doesn't serve God's purpose to artificially prop up sophistries based upon faulty analysis. Our mandate is to promote truth, to prayerfully consider the things that are set before us, and to allow ourselves to be led into all truth by the Spirit of Truth. Our every thought, word, and deed can be aligned with the divine will if we so choose. Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." The transformation that begins with a simple opening of the door makes all things new through the experience of rebirth. Our consciousness is enlarged to the point of becoming more cosmic in perspective, and our hearts thrill at the realization that souls are being saved. The question of whether to facilitate or teach is much easier when we consider the context, when we realize that perfection is not prerequisite to making meaningful contributions that help advance individuals and groups. The one-eyed material scientist can always overcome his lack of depth perception by means of augmenting intellectual disciplines. The contextual relationships are only revealed through a balanced understanding of the things, meanings, and values that encompass the essential curriculum. You can be instrumental in creating that rising tide that lifts all boats. You can help with the cleansing, the sorting, the sifting. You can lift others to stand on the shoulders of greatness, and your analysis can be the one that is tested through experience and tempered by wisdom. If Jesus is your teacher, the world becomes nurturing infrastructure. Where God is your thesis advisor, the universe becomes a grand conspiracy to ensure your success. When the faith fellows of the kingdom of heaven befriend you, an exciting career begins to unfold before you. And whether you decide to embrace this, your first best destiny is left entirely up to you. This is Bob Kalk on behalf of Ascension University and the Avia Group. Thanks for listening. Now go in God's grace with the full knowledge that He is reaching out to you in divine love.